Right now, I'm very happy to welcome to our program Ben Martin. He's web coordinator with the group 350Connecticut.org. And Ben, glad you could make it to the program tonight. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
First of all, say a quick word about the group, 350Connecticut.org.
350Connecticut is a loose chapter of the National 350 organization, which is named after the amount of parts per million of carbon in the atmosphere that supports basically our way of life and our ecosystem. And we're currently, at 400 or above, depending on the measurement days. And we need to get back to 350. So we're working for a fossil-free future, because the only way we're going to get back to a sustainable climate and sustainable ecosystem is to stop pouring the pollution into it that's causing the climate disruption and the global warming that's contributing to a lot of the problems that we have today.
Thanks for that, Ben. And I'm glad you could be here tonight, because we wanted to talk about a local development that is quite concerning. There is a proposed Northeast Energy Direct Pipeline project that would bring natural gas extracted from fracking wells in Pennsylvania to Massachusetts, across New York to New Hampshire, and Connecticut. And I know there's a lot of concerns about this project that have brought people out to some meetings organized by the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. But as we begin, Ben, maybe you could discuss this Northeast Energy Direct Pipeline, what it is, and why your group and other folks in our region here in New England are concerned about it.
So what it is a pipeline, as you said, to bring gas from the fracking fields in Pennsylvania and south of us through Connecticut, basically to get through the New England states of Connecticut, Massachusetts, and Maine up to Canada, so they can export this gas overseas where they can get a better price for it. And you can see from, it's one of five pipelines that they're trying to build through Connecticut, the Northeast Direct, Access Northeast, the Algonquin Incremental Pipeline, and a couple others from Kinder Morgan and Spectra and Northeast Energy. And basically they're trying to move this gas from where it's being fracked out of the ground, with all the methane emissions coming out of there, through Connecticut and New England, which is going to release more methane when it's transported, and also when they have to maintain these, what they call compressor stations, which basically, like, they have to put every so often in this pipeline to keep the pressure of this flowing through. So what they're doing is putting a parallel pipeline into some areas that already have one, which is a smaller pipeline for customer use, like to go to your home, and they're putting a larger one next to it that's basically so that they can move as much gas as possible, as far as possible, as I said, to get it to more favorable marketplaces. So we're obviously against this, because methane is a huge contributor to, you know, climate disruption and global warming, and it's also, you know, poisoning the land where they're fracking it, and it's completely unsafe, as we've seen from explosions in Springfield, Massachusetts, that took out a whole city block, and the clean plant in Middletown, Connecticut, which, you know, killed six people when it blew up, and these were supposed to be experts on handling this gas. So, I mean, from a safety perspective, from a climate perspective, even from an economic perspective, we're not getting any of the benefits of this gas. It's being piped through us, but we're not really getting the benefits of it. And even if we were, they claim that it'll stabilize prices, but what it's going to do is the more people they get on gas, the more people are going to be subject to the fluctuations in the market, which if we went to renewable energy instead and used our resources to do that, we would much more stabilize the electricity prices that they're trying to lower down there. And the point that I've been trying to make lately is that, in similar to your previous guest, you know, in support of these unions, which have been a strong presence in not only raising wages and making the working conditions better, but also making the working conditions safer for workers, renewable energy is a much safer product to work on. It's not an explosive substance as this gas is. And so they talk about all these safety efforts and how the union guys that are going to build this have all the safety training. Well, all that safety training wouldn't be necessary if we were using our resources to build renewable energy instead.
Right. Well, Ben, I just to clarify, the gas pipelines that are coming through New England states from the fracking fields in Pennsylvania, it's destined, as you said, to go up. Some of the gas is going up to Canada, but are there plans to bring it to a port on the northeast coast here for export in tankers? Is liquefied natural gas, or what is the plan for selling it overseas?
Yes, there's a port up in Canada. I believe it's in either British Columbia or Nova Scotia called Pieridae. That's P-E-R-I-D-A-E. And we see from FERC documents and from other, you know, regulatory agencies that they've applied for this permission to build this export terminal, which will liquefy the natural gas so they can put it on a tanker and take it to Europe, mm-hmm. with the expectation that they're going to get so much of this gas through these pipelines up there. And the applications for the Pieridae terminal list these pipelines as contributing factors as to why it should be built, but the applications to get the pipelines approved make no mention of this export terminal in an effort to segment the applications so that they can get them approved in a piecemeal fashion. So they don't have to mention the cumulative effects of all of these pipelines together and all the greenhouse gas and, you know, disruption to our, you know, our land and state that would happen of all of them together. They want to apply them separately because the cost to our state seem lower if they do that.
Well, that leads right into the question I was thinking of, and that is you mentioned earlier that there is the leak of methane, the primary element in the natural gas, that just inherent in these pipelines and these compressor stations, there's going to be a general or regular leaks of gas along the way. Is that correct?
Yeah. So, in any technology that we build, it's going to degrade over time. So even if they were to build an airtight pipeline from the beginning, in 5 years or so, it's going to be leaking methane into the air. But they don't even build these things airtight because you know, that increases the pressure, and that's a safety concern. And they have planned releases of the methane straight to the air when they have to maintain these compressor stations. As I said, these compressor stations basically keep up the pressure by running an engine and increasing the pressure of the gas. But that engine also runs on natural gas. So when they have to shut it down and maintain it, there's a bunch in the system that they have to purge, and it just gets purged straight to the air of whatever neighborhood these compressor stations are in.
I see. Well, that's again, leading to another issue here, and that is the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission has sponsored these scoping meetings in five states to get public input as the federal agency puts together an environmental impact statement. And there are groups, including yours, have encouraged people to come out to these meetings. I believe the schedule of these meetings ended sometime a week or so ago with one of the meetings in maybe Massachusetts.
Yeah.
But speak to the environmental impact statement that's being drawn up by the federal agency there, FERC, and what are some of the important things that you believe should be in that environmental impact statement?
Well, as I said before, I would say that you need to consider the cumulative impacts of all these pipelines together in those environmental impact statements, because these things don't exist in a vacuum. It's a matter of, if you're building one pipeline through the center of the state that's going to go through Hartford and then up the corner into Massachusetts, and then one along the coast, everyone in between is getting the emissions from both of those. So they need to be considered together, one. Second thing, they need to consider that methane is 34 times more powerful at greenhouse gas warming than carbon dioxide, which is the main thing that President Obama is limiting in his clean power plan. And also the main thing that our Governor Malloy and DEEP, the Department of Energy and Environmental Protection, is considering, they're mostly looking at carbon and not, and like, although there's a little mention of methane leak because we've been pressuring them to, you know, actually consider this, there's really not much concern about it, which is strange to me because, as I said, it's worse in the short term, in the next 20 years. And these are the 20 years that we need to address our emissions to actually have a chance at sustaining the climate as we know it. So they need to, this environmental establishment has to deal with the methane. It has to deal with the disruptions to our, you know, lands to put this pipeline in. It also has to deal with the recent study that came out that says the methane leaks are five times worse than the scientific instruments were telling us because they were using the wrong scientific instruments. And the fact that methane leaks, as a study recently in Massachusetts showed, kills trees around it. So we're not only losing trees, which are helping us, you know, deal with the carbon, we're putting more methane in the air that's going to heat up the planet more in the short term. And, you know, and we're building this pipeline, which is going to basically use natural gas with the emissions that comes with it, release it. So they have to deal with all these things in the environmental statement, and I'm sure it's going to be a long document that says, you know, here's 17 pages of science on why the methane is okay, and then 17 pages from the company on saying why we're, you know, dealing with it and stuff like that. But in my mind, they could boil this down to a one-page document that says natural gas is bad for the environment, and that's all the statement you need.
Right. Ben Martin is our guest tonight, web coordinator with the group 350 Connecticut, and we're talking about the Northeast Energy Direct Pipeline Project and some meetings held, public meetings held by the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission to compile information for an environmental impact statement about these multiple pipelines around New England. Ben, is this a proposed project, as I described it earlier, or has this already been approved? And I'm wondering, you know, is it possible that citizen input, protest, et cetera, could, you know, throw a wrench in this in the gears of this pipeline project, or is this already, you know, slated for construction?
So the Northeast Direct has not been approved yet, and like I said, there's five pipelines going thing. Technically, the Algonquin Incremental Pipeline has been approved by FERC, which is what we call the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. And the Algonquin has been approved, but the next four, including the Northeast Access Northeast and the Northeast Direct, have not been approved yet. And I certainly think that citizen input is essential to getting this thing delayed, at least. I mean, we've seen that with the fight against Keystone, one of the things that, you know, made the State Department, you know, take a second look at it was the fact that, you know, over 2 million people commented on their documents and said this is a bad idea, so they had to come back and do some more meetings and do some more this. And the more meetings we can have, the better chance you get the public out there to say this is a bad idea, and the faster we get to a point where renewable energy is just considered the standard as opposed to fossil fuels.
And Ben, now I wanted to ask you about the process from here on in. If the public meetings for input on the environmental impact statement are now concluded, What other opportunities are there for the public to give the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission or FERC the input they're presumably still open to receiving?
So you can go to their website, and there's project lists there, and if you find, you can probably search for the Northeast Direct and comment on it there. I believe they were accepting comments until the end of September by email, and by you know, regular mail if you feel like writing out a letter. So, I mean, you can certainly comment that way. There's always opportunities. The Sierra Club chapter of Connecticut has a list of events this week for that are what they call open houses, where the pipeline companies come in and have charts around what they're going to do and where the land is going to go, where the pipeline is going to go, and maps and things like that. And it's always good to go to those and comment to the people there that, you know, that you don't want this in your neighborhood and things like that. And there's also the Governor's Commission, the Governor's Climate Change Commission, which is holding a meeting on September 29th, that I believe people should come out to comment to them that they need to modify their position on fracking gas, because currently the governor and DEEP is encouraging this to come in, thinking it's going to be a cheaper gas and it has a lower carbon at the burning point than coal, so it would be better. But they need to modify their position, because renewable energy obviously has no carbon emissions, no methane emissions once it's put up, and it's almost at price parity, given the fluctuating nature of gas and oil, because there's no fuel need once it's put up. So this commission has a chance to be bold, and it has a chance to, you know, alter the progress of Connecticut in the right direction, and they're only going to do that if we get a lot of public support out there to this commission to say this is what the public wants you to do. So I encourage people to go to these meetings to September 29th at 1 o'clock in Hartford, and also look for the open houses that are listed on the Connecticut Sierra Club site. Of if there's one in near your town that you can go over to, it's always good to go to those, and not only to talk to the pipeline companies and get as much information as possible, but also to meet up with other people who are fighting against these and come up with good strategies to do that.
Thanks for that, Ben. And we'll give the web address for 350 Connecticut in just a moment here. But a final question for you, and it's just summarizing what you said a moment ago, and that is all this infrastructure is being built to transport natural gas, the fracking process, and natural gas itself, as you said, even though it's maybe less carbon polluting than coal, burning coal, it still is nonetheless a fossil fuel, and it produces carbon in the atmosphere, which contributes to climate change, something the world is presumably moving away from. But if there were to be a proposal to say, hey, look, energy use is going up. You look at a hot day like today in the middle of summer, where people are using air conditioners. And if someone were to say, you know, we need the natural gas because we don't have an alternative ready to go. We don't have, you know, the infrastructure or the way to, you know, use wind power or solar or what have you. What is your response to those who are such naysayers and say, you know, I'm sorry, we got to go with natural gas. It's the only thing, you know, we have ready to move right now, and we need it for production of energy right now.
Well, there's several things wrong with that argument. The first off is that they'll say that natural gas is ready right now. It's going to take 3 to 4 years to build these pipelines out. So we're not going to get – it's similar to the people that were calling for, you know, drilling in the Arctic and in the Gulf, saying we need to lower our gas prices. You know, you're not going to see the results of that for at least 5 years. And in that same time, you could build up the renewable energy structure, which is going to stabilize the electricity prices more than any fossil fuel will, because, as I said, it doesn't require any fuel. Second of all, our energy demands aren't going up. You know, we've seen, especially in Connecticut, Massachusetts, where the energy use has gone down because of great programs that have, like Energize Connecticut, and all the efficiency programs that have shored up people's houses and put in more insulation and you know, our newer light bulbs that are using less energy. I mean, even if you look at, you know, a lot of computers now, the laptops use less energy than the desktops that used to, and most people have the laptops. And, you know, you get down to the tablet level, and that's using even less energy than the laptop. So there's a lot of things going into energy efficiency, which have lowered our, you know, our energy use. So we don't need like a higher level of energy use. We just need to supplant our current use of fossil fuels with renewable energy. And in the same time you're going to build this pipeline, which is supposedly going to bring us gas, you could build renewable energy that's going to bring us energy directly. So it's even a simpler system with less failure points and less danger, because we're getting the electricity from a renewable source, which is local to here, and bringing it to your house, as opposed to, you know, blowing up some rock in Pennsylvania, pulling the gas out of the ground, transporting it all the way up here, putting it to a power plant, which then has to produce electricity, and then bring it to your home. It's a much simpler, safer system to go with renewable energy, with a lot less failure points. So we not only get lower energy prices, we get more resiliency, and we get better air. So I don't, the argument that this will be faster is false. The argument that it's going to lower our energy prices is false. So it's just a matter of a company trying to spin the information that whatever way they can to get their goals built.
Right. And it seems like one antidote to that in our current economic system, you know, where profit calls the shots, is to have some giants. So, you know, I'm not advocating this, but, you know, it seems like it's going to take some enormous economic force to do battle with these gas companies, Tennessee Gas Pipeline Company and the rest, to compete, you know, to say, hey, look, this makes more sense. It's quicker and it's cleaner. But unfortunately, it's activist groups and environmental groups that are working on these issues, and not some big competing economic interest, which unfortunately wins the day too often. Yeah. in these issues.
Well, there are companies that are doing things to increase the use of renewables. Like, there's companies out there that will put a solar system on your house at no cost to you up
right.
front. And you just have to pay them monthly for a set cost for energy. So your bill never changes. You get the same bill every month, as opposed to it fluctuating based on, you know, whatever price comes in like that. So there are companies doing that. And I don't think it's a matter of titans versus titans. I mean, I think it's a matter of, you know, that old drawing you have of the little fish forming a big fish to come after the shark.
Right, right.
So it's going to be everyday citizens coming out and saying, we don't want this in our town, and bring us some renewable energy, and you get it house by house and company by company. And then we have acres and acres of rooftops that we can put solar on. We have, you know, land areas, public land areas that we can put wind on that's going to provide us with energy. And it's just a matter of changing the system, and I think we can do that from the ground up, as opposed to, you know, trying to have, you know, the solar corporation fight the oil corporation. Because, to be honest, the oil corporation gets so many subsidies from the government that it pales in anything that renewable energy is getting.
Right.
You know, they said I've seen numbers like $50 million or $50 billion a year that they're getting in subsidies from the government, which, you know, if Obama and really wanted a clean power plan, and our Senate and Congress wanted a clean power plan, they could just get rid of those subsidies. And without those subsidies, fossil fuel loses every time to renewable energy.
We're going to have to leave it there. We're a little bit late here, but appreciate you being on the program tonight, Ben. And what's the web address for people to get more information about 350 Connecticut?
It's pretty simple. It's 350ct.org.
Got it. 350ct.org. Thank you very much, Ben. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.